You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Time to catch up again now here on RNIB Connect Radio with actor and RNIB ambassador Victoria Smurfit, who has recently been playing Helena in Gary Owen's new version of Henrik Ibsen's Ghosts at the Lyric Hammersmith, to talk about playing Helena and also about access to the theatre for blind and partially sighted people, as Victoria's daughter is also visually impaired. Hello, Victoria, and lovely to have you back with us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you for having me, Toby. I appreciate it.
The last time you were on the station, Victoria, you were talking about playing Maud in Rivals on Disney Plus, and maybe Maud and Helena are quite different characters, or maybe not?
Maud and Helena are very different from the perspective that Helena has spent her whole life as in a sort of gilded cage with a very brutal, cold, narcissistic, controlling husband, and she spent her life creating a narrative for herself, basically lying to herself and all around her in order to keep the peace, in order to make everything look as perfect as it should do. Whereas Maud shoots from the hip, does whatever the hell she wants, and doesn't think about the consequences an awful lot.
I think Gary Owen's new version of Ghosts has really brought those themes to a sort of present day. And I think those themes are still relevant and still around us. And maybe, you know, sort of when we see ghosts again, it makes us think that as people, we probably haven't changed in 150 years.
Well, I think the human condition doesn't. I think the ways we express it change as the decades fly by, and the issues that drive the human condition to the edge may be different. Whereas in Ibsen's original Ghosts, they're dealing with Oswald and syphilis, syphilis of the mind, which, of course, these days you take an antibiotic and you're fine. So that had to be changed. There's an awful lot of things that are similar, but our play definitely views how people interact through a 2025 lens. But human beings, you know, we're all the same. We're all, no matter what, have to deal with jealousy and anger and rage and trauma and honesty and what it means to be honest and what faith is and what love is and what you do for love. And, you know, that will forever be a story that needs to be told.
And it was great to be able to meet you, Victoria, on the Touch Tour prior to the audio described performance of Ghosts, and also to have you with Arasham to talk about your characters and also describe your costumes too. And for me, a Touch Tour is so important to get a real sense and feeling of the set and also the spaces that you and the rest of the cast are performing in. It was a wonderful set, and I did wonder whether having the set only being one room of Helena's house and only a couple of props, does that make your performances more intense as a small space in some ways that you're performing in and only a couple of props?
Yes, well, it does strip it bare, that's for sure. You can hide an awful lot in what we call displacement activity. If you're fussing around with props or the set and this, that and the other, you can definitely use that to also tell stories. But Merle Anson's set is abstract. The play is quite naturalistic, but the set is abstract, so that you get sort of almost the bareness, the emptiness and the loneliness of Helena's life. And as actors, when you only have, we had a sofa, we have wine glasses and we have a Bible. I mean, it couldn't be more Irish if it tried. And I kind of love that. So you are stripped down to the words and you're stripped down to the emotion and the connectivity between the actors. And that's kind of, at the beginning, utterly, utterly terrifying, and then it actually becomes enormously freeing.
And to me, it was interesting being on stage for the Touch Tour and getting that sense of, in some ways, the smallest of the set. But when I was in the auditorium watching the show, it felt a lot bigger, but it also felt very much like a prison cell to me with those sort of grey concrete walls. And I wondered, was that something that went through your mind and the rest of the cast's mind?
Yes, absolutely. And I think it was part of Merle's thinking was it feels like a cell. And that is that, you know, that's the concrete walls and the jails that we create for ourselves with our lies and our rejuggled narratives that we tell ourselves. And I thought that was very clever. It's sort of a pressure cooker of concrete, isn't it?
Yeah.
And yeah, no, I think it's very cleverly done. She's also put screen printing. So the play opens with Helena's husband, who turns out to be not a terribly nice man. He had previously died. And on our set walls, we have screen printings of the back of a man's head. And it's a thick neck and it's a balding head. He looks like the back of a head of a bouncer, you know, if you were to do casting central bouncer. But you never, it's all sorts of different parts of him. So it's a shoulder, it's a neck, it's the top of the head, and it's screen printed all over the walls. But we, the characters, don't see that. It's not like she's created Carl wallpaper. That's for the audience. That's part of the abstract notion for the audience to know that he looms large in all these people's lives because he has ostensibly ruined them for decades. So I think it's very cleverly done.
Yeah, because that sense that he's there, almost there, looking and watching.
Yeah, absolutely. And I use the walls a lot when she's at a moment of crisis. I'll put a hand on the wall and it's almost like the prisoner. What is it called when the prisoner falls in love with their captor? My brain's gone. I have to learn too many lines. And it's sort of like that, like she sort of touches the wall and touches Carl at a moment of collapse in a strange kind of comfort, which is odd.
And there were some really sort of dramatic physical scenes in Ghost, but also to me, some very tender scenes. And the one that I think really sort of surprised me, and I don't want to give too much away for people who haven't seen Ghosts, but at the end there was a lovely tender scene between Helena and her son Oz, which I was not expecting.
Oh, it's nice, yes. Rachel O'Riordan, our extraordinary director, and obviously Gary Owen, who did the adaptation, they wanted the story to end with hope, for there to be a way forward, almost like the two characters have dumped their masks, have dumped the stories they tell themselves and are sort of back to one and starting fresh as two thinking adults. And that's really, it is really tender. It's really nice because they all go through the ringer. And the thing about doing a play that's as dramatic and as dealing with things like coercion and abuse and incest and all sorts of carry on, there's a huge amount of humor in it. Gary's popped moments of humor through the play just at the point where you think you can't process anymore. You get a release of laughter, which is really nice. So to end the play on an uplift was really nice.
And Victoria, when you are on stage and knowing that there are blind and partially sighted people in the audience for an audio described performance, do you think of your visually impaired daughter at all when you're performing?
Well, I think about her every day. So, yes, I was thrilled because actually I hadn't realised there was a touch tour going on when you guys arrived. I just went out there to run lines with Roshan and I was absolutely thrilled that you guys were all there. I'd forgotten it was that day. And I was so delighted to be part of it and meet everybody because I feel, you know, I'm an ally. I feel very connected to your community, having sort of helped Evie navigate. And yeah, it's very special. It's very special for me. It's very special. I love the fact that theatres take such a responsibility towards anybody who isn't your cookie cutter human being, you know, because that's, you know, theatre is all about not being the cookie cutter. It's always having something kind of magically different and surprising and unusual. And that's how I feel about the sight impaired community, the deaf community. Like I look at my Evie and she has magic in her bones because she's not straight out of the packet. She's her own rounded, extraordinary, special, superpower riddled self.
Does she go to theatre at all and has she experienced audio described theatre?
She has indeed. And we go to the theatre a lot when we lived in LA. And obviously here we have a routine of hitting up Chinatown and then a show. And she absolutely loves it. She absolutely loves it. She really does. So, yeah, it was very special for me to have you all in.
And when you were last on with us and talking about Rivals, you were mentioning that every actor should think about access, whether that's for the stage or the big or small screen. And when you start working on a production like Ghost, is access at all talked about when you all meet as sort of cast, crew and creators for the first time?
Oh, absolutely. It's all sort of part of, I guess, the theatre standpoint for a start, and then part of rehearsal and just understanding that you're working for and with a team that have a wider perspective and an inclusive perspective. And I think that's important to everybody.
And it was great that, sort of both Ruth and Willie, who are professional audio describers, to have their audio description and have them there for the touch tour as well. But sometimes I do think that the availability of audio described performances can be a little bit sort of patchy in places. And that's not to say that, sort of theatres and companies are not doing great work around access, but sometimes I feel that description can be a form of access because it's slightly hidden, but it's not given as much sort of profile as maybe some of the other forms of access. And I wondered, Victoria, as an actor and with your R&IB ambassador hat on, what would you sort of do or say to raise awareness of audio described theatre for both audiences and theatre makers?
Well, let's put a business hat on. Let's put the corporate mogul hat on and say, if a theatre or a production company or a streamer, a network, if you have diligently created better access, then guess what? You get more bums on seats. And so take out the emotion of it, take out anything else. You want to talk business? You make it accessible to every single human being, and then you are the go-to place for entertainment stories. Access is vital, and to me, it seems utterly bewildering that you wouldn't do everything in your power to make sure anybody with any kind of impairment or adjustment doesn't have access to it, because you know what? You're losing viewers, you're losing customers. And I'm literally saying this, just with a business head on, like cold, straight up. It doesn't make sense to me. And that's me talking from a different part, which the mother part of me would want to take a stick at anybody who's not making it accessible for my daughter. Do you see my point? I know it's not very woo-woo or touchy-feely, but I just think, why would you not? It's nuts.
Exactly. I mean, for me, as somebody who's, I've been to many, many audio described performances, and I first found audio description back in the early 2000s, and I went to as many audio described performances as I could because theatre became more accessible to me. And it's just that thing of, as theatre is, it's not only going to see a live performance, but it's sharing that experience, which is so important.
Yeah, 100%. So you can all talk about the same thing and have a perspective. I remember when, I think it was Virgin Atlantic first brought in audio description on their planes. And so I used to fly BA, and I'm like, no, we're just flying Virgin because they've been smart enough to make it easier. Because Evie, from the chair to the little TV on the seat in front, she can't see anything. So that was like an immediate change. And that's what I'm talking about. Bums on seats, make it accessible. It doesn't have to be about guilt or rapprochement. I mean, it's literally good business.
That's great to hear. Now that the run of Ghosts has come to an end, Victoria, where might we see you next, whether that's on stage or the big or small screen?
Well, I'm heading down to the Cotswolds to shoot season two of Rivals for Disney Plus, which I'm thrilled about.
Oh, that'd be great. When will that be on our screens, do you think?
Oh my goodness, I haven't a clue. I haven't a clue. We've got to go make it. I've got to put Maud's wig back on and go and play with all the deliciously nutty actors. And I can't wait to see them all and play in the rival sandpit.
Well, thank you so much indeed, Victoria, for chatting with me here on R&IB Connect Radio. And also, thank you for all that you do for us all as blind and partially sighted people in your role as an R&IB ambassador.
Oh, thank you, Toby. It's been gorgeous to chat with you.
For more interviews, features, and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for R&IB Connect Radio.